Written in Blood, A Midsummer Murders Mystery, Book 4, written by Caroline Graham and read by John Hopkins. Afterwards, talking to the police, no one could quite agree as to who had put forward Max Jennings' name. One or two people thought it was Amy Lydiard, who was sure it was her friend, Sue Clapton. Sue disagreed, suggesting Rex St. John, who said it certainly couldn't have been him because he had never heard of the man, let alone read his books. Laura Hutton admitted she might have been responsible, having recently come across an article in Harper's describing the author's recent move to a village barely 20 miles away. Brian Clapton said whoever it was had inflicted on him the most boring evening he had ever spent in his entire life. But what Amy and Sue both agreed on was that poor Gerald's reaction to the suggestion had been most dramatic. No sooner were the words Max Jennings uttered than, according to Amy, who wrote blockbuster fiction, he had apparently jumped, blanched, trembled, been taken aghast, stared wildly round, or winced as if from some mysterious blow. And then he had dropped his coffee cup. There was immediately much fuss over the stained trousers, and what with that and scraping the sugary residue off the carpet, it was some 10 minutes before the group reassembled. Sue made some fresh coffee using the special chocolate truffle variety that Gerald had left ready, and which Brian said he couldn't tell from cocoa. When she took the tray in, Gerald was standing in front of the gas fire, holding damp trousers away from his scalded knees and saying, "Terribly sorry about all this. A sudden twinge." He laid his hand, briefly, against his white shirt front.
"You must go and see the quack," said Rex.
Laura thought, "It's his heart," and felt nauseous and quickly cold. "But he's not fat, or even overweight. The right age, though. And you didn't have to be fat. There were all sorts of other factors. Oh, God, oh, God. I think Rex is right. It's just indigestion, some jugged hair. Even so..."
"Do you think we could get on?"
Brian made a great show of looking at his watch. He didn't like Gerald for a variety of reasons, and thought more than enough time had been spent fussing over him.
"I've got marking to do before I go to bed. We're not all members of the leisured class."
They returned to their discussion, which was on the difficulties of finding a guest speaker. Just before the accident, Amy had suggested a woman who lived in nearby Martyr Devesy and wrote about the humorous antics of her Pekingese dogs, of which she had a very large number.
"I know who you mean," said Sue. "She produces the books herself and takes them round to all the local shops."
"Vanity publishing is strictly verboten," said Brian. "We want real writers or none at all." "It's only 4 times a year, said Honoria Lydiard, picking up the last pimento and cream cheese vol-au-vent.
There were 2 flaky frills resembling the wings of infant angels sticking out. She placed it on her large tongue like a pill and swallowed it whole. "And that makes 8, observed Amy quietly to herself.
"I would have thought," continued Honoria, "that between us we could manage that."
"Between us" was stretching it. Although quick to deride most of the names mentioned, Honoria rarely suggested anyone herself. The people who did come, she nearly always deemed unworthy, and was often extremely rude about them, not always waiting till after their departure.
"We could ask Frederick Forsyth," said Rex, who was writing a thriller about a hitman, codename Hyena, and his attempt to assassinate Saddam Hussein. "No point," said Brian. "These people always pretend they don't have time."
This was demonstrably true. Among the people who had not had time to address the Midsummer Worthy Writers' Circle over the past few years,